The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
All right, here we go. Teddy Bridgewater on Casey's defense.
Yeah, it's just a physical group. They do a great job of getting their guys in one-on-one situations. And we're aware of that. So we're going to make sure we put together the right plans, protection-wise, pass game-wise, run game-wise, and just give ourselves the best chance to go out there and win.
Teddy Bridgewater on Mahomes. Come on now.
He's awesome. As simple as that. You know, he's done some great things in this league. You know, you watch him on tape, and it's like, man, how the hell did he make that throw? You know, and things like that. But, you know, he's a true competitor. He's tough. And like I said, he's just awesome.
It's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a What to Know Wednesday. Let's do it, Tyler Columbus. Let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs offense.
Yeah, man, a weird year for the Chiefs offense. Very, very weird. They have not looked like the juggernaut that we all know them to be. Patrick Mahomes started out the year looking, honestly, below average. As crazy as that sounds, that's what he was doing. He was turning the ball over at an alarming rate. And that's not even counting the amount of balls that were catchable, amount of balls that should have been interceptions. He was not playing good football when the season began. Mahomes looked uncomfortable. He looked frustrated. And he looked like he was pressing. He looked like Drew Locke when he comes in off of relief. Like Mahomes is like, hey, man, I know that all I got to do is sling it down the field. Something good's going to happen. And that's what he was doing in the early parts of the season. It just wasn't all coming together. Now, a lot has changed. Patrick Mahomes is playing way better than he previously was. The defense is playing good football. I'll get to them here in a second. But on the offensive side of the ball, you look at it, and you can still got to give a lot of credit to these guys, because when I look at a team and I think, are they Super Bowl worthy? I think, how many studs do they have? Like, how many Pro Bowl level guys do they have on offense? How many Pro Bowl level guys do they have on defense? And it's my belief you got to have at least three on each side of the ball if you're going to be considered a true championship level team. So if you look at the Chiefs and you look at guys that are playing at a Pro Bowl level, well, I'll give you a couple guys that are not going to make the Pro Bowl, but they're playing at a Pro Bowl level. Center Creed Humphrey, dude, is a rookie. He's a rookie, and he's balling, man. He's in control. You could tell that he understands his assignments. He's got the offensive line in the right spot. He's getting his calls out quick, and he's mauling people. He's a physical center. It's tough to move guys north and south as a center, and he's doing it. Left guard, they've got Joe Thuney, who came over from the Patriots, playing at a Pro Bowl level. Now, do I think either one of those guys will make it? I don't. But I know this, the interior of their offensive line as an entirety, really, really talented. Those two guys, they've only given up two sacks between the two of them on the entire season. Hey, I think each guy on our offensive line has given up a minimum of two sacks. So we would take that. And then let's keep going down the list. All right, so I just gave you two guys that are playing at Pro Bowl level. Travis Kelce, he's having a fantastic season. He's been a Pro Bowl staple for years. He's doing it again. He's on pace for 1,300 yards and 8 touchdowns. He's just doing his deal. He looks fantastic. Tyreek Hill, he's second in the NFL in receptions, and he's fifth in receiving yards. Arguably having one of the best years he's ever had. And this is all despite the offensive struggles that are going on the offensive side of the ball. And then you've got Patrick Mahomes. So, hey, man, although the Chiefs offense has not been the juggernaut that they once seemed, I just gave you five guys that are playing at a Pro Bowl level. So they've got the capability of turning it on at any given moment. They've got a right tackle situation where they're down to their third team guy, Andrew Wiley. He's been struggling, but Kyle Long is coming off the PUP. May or may not play this week. There's rumors that he might go out and try to replace Andrew Wiley. And the Chiefs do seem to be finding a little bit of a rhythm in their offense because of their running game, of all things. Now, they don't run the ball a lot. But what they're doing is they're running with a different style than they used to. I told you earlier that all their finesse stuff, it's not working the way that it used to. They're not picking up the easy, cheap yards. But what they're figuring out is they got some monsters on the interior of their offensive line. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if they come out of the bye week and Andy Reid says, hey, I'm going to follow these monsters that are on the interior of my offensive line. I'm going to feed it right down the middle. Mm-hmm. I'm going to run the ball as much as I possibly can. You know, here's the bottom line. The Chiefs have looked human because they just can't get the passing game going in full force like they have in years past. And we just need to hope and pray that they don't put it all together against the Broncos, because you can see the pieces coming together, and they certainly got the stars.
They've lost more fumbles than any team in the league this year at 11. Dead last. Why? Why have they coughed the ball so up so much? And a number that stands out, they're minus 7 in giveaway takeaway margin. They have 22 giveaways, which is 31st in the league.
Yeah.
So they are, throughout the course of the entire season, the most mistake-prone offense in the league.
Mm-hmm. Well, they take a lot of chances. I mean, the biggest part of the turnover differential there is going to be the what Patrick Mahomes play in the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Turning the ball over left and right. The fumbles are very, very concerning. Why is that happening? Well, because they play a finesse style of football. Unfortunately, Melvin Gordon plays a finesse style of football. He looks for the openings, and he's trying to hit the home run all the time. And when he should be going right down the A-gap, putting two hands over the ball, you give a lot of fly sweeps to guys like Tyreek Hill. You give the ball to the smaller, skinnier guys. What do? They try to get to the open space. They put that ball out there. They carry it like a loaf of bread, and fumbles happen.
Okay, so what can the Broncos do, Tyler, to try to work that to their advantage?
Number one, you got to shut down their interior rushing game. Try to make them play their finesse football. And you got to hope and pray that Patrick Mahomes is still off. That's what it comes down to. If Patrick Mahomes turns it on, I don't know what to tell you. He's still Patrick Mahomes. If he turns it on, I don't have a solution for you. Nobody does.
The most common opponent of late was the Chargers, but they faced them early in the season, and the Chiefs did turn the ball over 4 times. They lost that game 30-24, where the Broncos basically owned the Chargers, aside from Drew Lock's turnover, right? So I would say you got to get them to be the old Chiefs from earlier in this year somehow. I just know exactly how to do that. A big change for the Chiefs, though, has come defensively. They have won 4 games in a row. What does their defense look like? We'll get there next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's the drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Well, when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs on a What's in a Wednesday, the defense by far has the most question marks. And, I mean, it was looking dicey for the Chiefs for quite a while. I mean, they do win, but they give up 29 points to the Browns. They give up 36 points to the Ravens, 30 points to the Chargers, 30 points to the Eagles.
Yeah. Read the last 4 games.
Fine. Last 4 games, they give up 9 points to the Cowboys, 14 to the Raiders, 7 to the Packers without...
Jordan Love.
With Jordan Love, yes. And 17 to the Giants.
Right.
Let's go. Defense of the Chiefs.
Really, really fascinating. By the way, just quick side note. How about the Cowboys? They've lost to everybody in the AFC West except for the Chargers. Kind of fascinating.
Yep.
They lost to the Raiders also.
By the way, the Chiefs are 5-0 against the NFC.
Okay.
5-0 against the NFC this year.
Okay. All right. Interesting little side note there for sure. All right. So this Kansas City defense. Man, for years and years, Chiefs defense has flat out been a liability. Not only are they not a liability at this point in the season, they are a strength. They're a strength of the football team. And of course, you're just waiting for Patrick Mahomes to start connecting on everything. And when he does, and he's not having as many drop balls and whatever, yeah, I'm sure he'll go back to being the strength of the team. But for the time being, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, the Kansas City Chiefs defense has been the strength. They've looked much better. Now, Why have they been able to do that? There's a handful of things that are going on. I want to start with the biggest difference to me on their defense has been the emergence of 2 linebackers, Willie Gay Jr. and Nick Bolton at linebacker. These are young guys that are fantastic football players. You know, I talked about guys that are playing at a Pro Bowl level on the offensive side of the ball. Well, both these guys are playing fantastic football. You know, they cover well, they hit their rush gaps well, and they've really been the heartbeat of the defense. Their secondary, they've graded very, very well every single game. Their defensive backs are led by Tyrann Mathieu. They've got Thornhill. The entire gang is really good in the secondary. I wouldn't call them spectacular. I know somebody on the text line texted in some of the PFF grades, and they're the highest graded defensive backfield in the NFL right now. Okay, fine. Tell me that they're the highest graded. I think they're good. They're not great. I do see some deficiencies there, but overall, they're a really good team. Another huge difference that's been going on for the Chiefs has been the pickup of Melvin Ingram, and it's not so much what Melvin Ingram has been able to do for them himself. Hey, man, he might have only one sack since they picked him up. I'm actually not even entirely sure on Melvin, but they've changed what they're doing, and they've changed the way that they're rushing and they're attacking the QB. They've moved Jones to the inside. And it kind of feels like that NASCAR package that we talked about for years and years, where you move Von Miller onto the inside, and all of a sudden you've got offensive guards that are not used to dealing with that type of speed, that type of quickness, and those type of moves. And Jones has been a game wrecker playing on the inside. D-Mac, the defense is Jekyll and Hyde. I talk about the Broncos being a Jekyll and Hyde team.
Right.
Shoot, you write it off. The first half of the year, they were giving up over 30 points every single game. You're not going to win games when you do that. Mm-hmm. Well, you might win a few if you're the Chiefs, because they could outscore some people, but you're going to lose a lot of games.
They started the season 2-3.
Yeah.
They were having problems.
You're going to lose a lot. You give up 30 points, you're going to lose a lot of football games. But then against Dallas, they're sweltering. They were phenomenal. They only allowed 276 yards of total offense. They had 5 sacks. They had 3 turnovers. So much like I talked about with Patrick Mahomes, let's hope that this isn't the game that they turn it on. I guess we got to kind of hope that this Chiefs defense reverts to their old form, and they're not what they've been the last 4 weeks.
Andy Reid on the Chiefs defense.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the way the league is right now. I mean, it's, what are you today and every week? So you got to stay on top of your game, and then at the end of the year, then you evaluate it, right? So we're seeing crazy things in this league, ups and downs, and so much parity. And I mean, it's never been quite like it is right now, which I think is great. It's great for all the cities in this league. But that's, small things. Small things matter. And you get those flipped around, and, good things can happen.
Well, what were the things that mattered to you guys to make that change?
Well, if I was born yesterday, I'd probably tell you that. But I've been doing this a couple of days. And so I'm not going to put that out there.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he's right. The parity is incredible in the NFL this year, especially in the AFC West. Everybody, it's just same exact record, up and down, the entire thing. Everybody's in the ballpark right now. Broncos control their destiny. There is parity. The Chiefs do look like they're a beatable football team, certainly in the first half of the year. I don't know what we're going to get this week. Usually when the Chiefs are coming off a bye week, they're tremendous.
Right.
Andy Reid's 19-3 coming off the bye week, so I'm going to assume they're going to be good. I know that Vegas still thinks that the Broncos are long shots in this. They've got the Broncos at 10-point dogs. That's significant. So, yeah. D-Mac, we're sitting here talking about an opportunity of a lifetime. It is. This is an opportunity of a lifetime.
What a challenge, though.
Beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're not worried about anything. It's all in front of you. You are in the driver's seat.
Yep.
But this is still one hell of a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, what you're hearing there, even with the non-answer, is we were struggling on defense.
Yeah.
We recognized it. We have made changes. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to talk about it. But we have made changes, and it's worked. And we do self-scout and look at things during the bye week, because that's our process too. And in general, we get better coming out of a bye week.
Yeah.
So not only have we changed things in the middle of the season, but we're usually even better coming out of the bye week.
Yeah.
Ouch. 4-0 in their last 4 games, a week to rest up, a week to self-evaluate.
And then on top of that,
maybe we look past the Broncos as we beat them 11 straight, even though we don't even think about it. Well, now we flip the game to national TV. Okay, trust me, you got our attention now. Because we all know Sunday night's the real deal, not Monday night anymore.
No doubt about it. This Kansas City Chiefs are going to be ready. They're going to be ready to rock and roll. And, you know, the Broncos game might not have meant much to them previously. I know it means a lot right now because, well, it means the exact same thing to them as it means to us. The exact same thing.
Crazy. Okay, really quick, really quick. Their special teams is also very good. They're sixth in punting, a first in net punting, so their punter's great. I don't even know who their punter is these days, but
he's punting a whole lot more than he ever has. He's got the long hair.
Good point.
I can't even remember his name, but he's the young guy with the long hair.
You're right. Gosh darn it.
Yeah.
I think he can throw the ball, too. I know exactly. He's like the rock and roll sort of looking guy.
Right.
The field goal kicking is, you know, he's missed a couple, but overall, they're great defensively against the punt. Kickoff return average, they're great, by the way, in returning the ball, believe it or not. And the Broncos are the worst team in the league. So we even have a little heads up, by the way. They're number one in kickoff return, and we're last in the league in covering.
Okay, kick it out of the end zone.
Right.
I'm with you. Be boring on kickoff.
And by the way, same with the punt. Well, we're not the worst, but they are the best in return average against, so they cover punts well. Listen, you got to play conservative against their special teams, too, because the Chiefs, Tyler, could kill you in the special teams department as well. So you just got to be aware of that. They do things well all over the place, whereas the Chargers have been a train wreck on special teams this year.
Still Dave Tobe?
You know, it is. Yeah, it was like the...
He was on our short list for head coach at one point.
Yeah. It's a really, it's a sleeping giant, and it looks like they've.
Oh, we had a good week on teams, baby.
Good.
That's what happens when we break things down. And yeah, some of the numbers are rough, but hey, man, any given Sunday night, this is the Drive on the Fan.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's the Drive with Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
Hey.
I was watching Rick Beato.
I know what this is.
Greatest drum fills and intros of all time. And Dave Grohl featured on this one right here, because I think it was Dave that played drums on this, not Taylor Hawkins. But oh my God, am I talking about the Foo Fighters?
Yes, you are, D-Mac, and you know what that means.
What am I doing?
It's time to call.
Keep going.
No, it's time to call. You got the read. I don't have the read. I mean, you get free. You can get two tickets to the Foo Fighters concert that's on August 23rd.
August 6th.
No, August 6th. 2022.
Where?
That's Adam Power Field.
And
you've got the rest. Yeah.
Free sale goes on sale Thursday at 10 a.m. Regular sale goes on Friday. And yeah, Foo Fighters.
So now you're allowed to call. D-Mac won't yell at you.
Hell no. Richie will, I guess Richie's picking up the phone. Fourth caller wins tickets now. We'll have tickets all this week. I'm pumped for that show. Went down a little bit of a Dave Grohl Foo Fighters wormhole earlier today on the old YouTube.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's really good, man. Really good. He's played drums for multiple bands, too. Just kind
Hall of Famer.
He's played drums for Tenacious D.
Now, that's a fun dude.
Queens of the Stone Age. Oh, man, what's the other one? Another one I forget. And he played all the instruments on Foo Fighters' first album. Taylor Hawkins came in to be the drummer on their touring band. Here's a fun trivia question. This is a great documentary, by the way.
Oh, I bet I'm going to nail it. If it's music trivia, I bet I crush it.
What band? Taylor Hawkins has been the drummer for Foo Fighters for forever. Who was he playing drums for right before Foo Fighters?
No. I don't know.
Alanis Morissette.
Wow, okay. Isn't that ironic?
Don't you think?
I do. A little too ironic.
It's like when you got a knife and all you need is a spork.
Is anything in that song real irony?
No, it's actually poorly written.
Yeah.
That being said, there's a great documentary on, I think it's HBO. I think it's produced by Bill Simmons as well. And it talks about what she did, Alanis Morissette, for Jagged Little Pill back in the day. And Alanis Morissette, really quick, a little rock stuff. Alanis Morissette was a very progressive female artist advocating female-oriented progressive ideas.
Okay.
Her band was all guys. So Alanis Morissette is, you know, encouraging, you know, empowerment of women. Great thing. The band had the security guys set up a room to bring girls back for them to have their way with after every show. And she didn't know anything about it.
Now, isn't that ironic?
Don't you think? All right, we'll move on from that. By the way, on that documentary series, the latest one out this week, they're going to do new ones. What?
All right, we're going to move on. We're going to move on.
Just real quick. There's a great documentary on DMX. Do you like DMX?
Well, it's like the greatest Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer ever performed. You ever heard DMX? I think you have because I played it on our show.
I have. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
Anyways, the documentary on DMX, I watched that last night. It's great. It's sad. It's a great documentary. It's just kind of, it's sad. He's had a fascinating, sad life. Kind of a great, sad life. But anyways, I love stuff like that. I love those type of things.
You go down a lot of YouTube wormholes. I know it.
Dave Grohl played drums for Nirvana. Yeah, no kidding. I didn't think we had to mention that. All right. We're going to have James Merrillat up here in just a little bit. Andy Reid is 19-3 as a head coach coming off a bye week. The Broncos are 13-9 at Arrowhead in the month of December. Hey, what are we doing here, by the way? What are 3-19? Sorry, 3-19. So it's an inverse number there. Should we be focusing on how the Broncos can actually win on Sunday, or are we just going to be in the dwelling on all this negative news here this week, Tyler?
Well, I think that's part of it, man. I mean, you know, the history is what makes this game so huge. Now, it doesn't make it any more attainable. It doesn't make it any more feasible. You still got one hell of a challenge in front of you, and we're talking about it during the break. And we're playing a Chiefs team that's got a defense all of a sudden. Like, that's pretty terrifying. We all assume that Patrick Mahomes is just going to make it all click at some point. And they are. They're starting to play better football. They've got a running game. They can play downhill. They've got a lot of great things going on. So, sure, man. I mean, it's easy to look at it and say, we've got all the negative stuff of the past. We're going through all the losses here as a station. But I actually like it because that's what makes the game so important. Look, man, it wouldn't be that rewarding if you just won a one-off game. It would still be cool that you beat the Chiefs, but they're not the Chiefs of the old. They don't have a great record. It's the past that would make this game so rewarding.
All right, you had a great high school, college, pro career.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What was a game in your career that stands out to you where everybody thought you guys were going to lose, but you won?
Well, I mean, I would go with the Super Bowl, honestly. Maybe that's too easy, but we're going up against the hottest offense in the NFL. Right. Peyton Manning was struggling. Everybody was saying that he was done. He was toast. He shouldn't even be playing. There were a lot of people out there arguing that Brock Osweiler should have been starting in the playoffs and even in the Super Bowl. And then Cam comes out, and honestly, the moment I knew we were going to win that game is when Cam came out in those stupid gold cleats, and he had MVP over it, and he was prancing. He was literally prancing around the field. Like, he wasn't warming up. He wasn't stretching. He was prancing. He was out there like he was on the red carpet, like just taking a turn in front of the audience. And I knew that we had a chance, but that game stands out. I mean, I don't recall what the actual spread was. I doubt if it was 10 points. It was a Super Bowl, so it had to have been pretty close. But I felt at the moment, and maybe that's just what you do. Maybe you just say it's us against the world. Nobody believes in us. But I truly felt at that moment that nobody was giving us a chance.
Okay. 5 points, Carolina.
In the Super Bowl, that seems what's a normal spread in the Super Bowl? 5 seems huge to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
that's
Super Bowl,
question.
Super Bowl should be a pick 'em.
You know what's so funny about you saying that? Like, nobody gave you a chance, and I absolutely know where you're coming from when you say that. But I bet you anything, if you talk to Denver media people who covered the Broncos in the San Fran Super Bowl and your Super Bowl, or I'm sorry, the New York Super Bowl and your Super Bowl in San Fran, Santa Clara. I bet you would not get that same response from the Denver media being one of them.
Probably not, because they were watching it and they were following it. They knew how good we were.
We could tell
from a national perspective.
Okay.
It was all about Cam and the number one offense. You know, there's a few other games that stand out. Obviously, the Beastquake was a huge one. That wasn't you know, that was huge. We snuck into the playoffs with a losing record, right. And we were going up against the Saints. I think they were world champs the year before, if I remember correctly, or at least they were in the Super Bowl. And we won a stinking playoff game with a losing record. There's one for you.
Were there any common denominators? Was there anything, was there a thread that you could compare those teams together, like why you won, how you guys did, what you used?
Well, that's a good question. Both games, we had subpar QB play going on. And Hasselbeck, that was a weird year for him. You know, Pete Carroll gave up on him after that year. We actually started Charlie Whitehurst against the Rams right before that game. And there was question whether we were going to play Matt or not. Mm-hmm. And we leaned on a real strong running game. And really what carried us through the playoffs in 2015 with the Broncos was we found our groove in the running game. And C.J. Anderson was running all over the place. I guess it was the running game if we found a real common denominator.
All right.
And no, you know what the biggest thing was? The biggest thing was the pass rush. Our defense in the Super Bowl year, we had the best pass rush in the NFL. I mean, that Patriots game, oh my gosh, what Vaughn and D. Ware were doing to those tackles, that was murder. And out in Seattle that year, we had a couple guys that were just crushing it. Tremendous pass rush.
Okay. Is that something the Broncos could take advantage of this weekend? Interior or on the outside, it is a young offensive line for Kansas City.
It would take Bradley Chubb stepping up.
Okay, I love it. A signature moment from Bradley Chubb.
Yeah,
here we go.
That's what it would take.
A signature game from Bradley Chubb.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he could possibly be up for it? Let's bring that up with James Merrilat. We'll hear from Jimmy on the other side.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac. Christmas Day 2016. The defending Super Bowl champion Broncos season was on the line at Arrowhead on Sunday Night Football as the Broncos faced elimination with a loss. Wade Phillips' defense that carried the team to the title the year prior had a night they'd all like to forget.
Smith is under center. He gets the snap. He spins to the right. He hands off to Hill, who runs laterally to the near side for the 27. Cuts the corner on the sideline. The 30. Got a block at the 40. He breaks another tackle at the 50. He's down the sideline. The 40. The 30. Breaking tackles. A foot race. The 20. The 10. The 5. Touchdown. Tyreek Hill takes it to the house.
Alex Smith's offense amassed nearly 500 yards of offense.
It's caught across the way and grabbed on the play by Kelsey. Runs up the far side, got a block at the 40, down the sideline 50, foot race to the 40, running on the numbers of 30, got another block at the 20, and takes it all the way in. Kelsey has done it all for the Chiefs.
And with the game out of reach and the Broncos season done, the Chiefs decided to pour salt in the wound.
Their version of the fridge. Here comes Don Terry Poe in. They got a
He's going to take it. Look at this. He's going to throw. Touchdown.
Oh, my. What a play. You may see that one about 10 million times the rest of your life.
Meanwhile, the Broncos will store that baby away in their memory banks for next year.
When the world champs get knocked out, don't particularly want to have it rubbed in your face, and I'm sure that's the way they're feeling right now.
Following the humiliating loss ruining Christmas for all the Rocky Mountains, Broncos country awaited their next shot at Kansas City for revenge. Who would have thought that 5 years later, they'd still be looking for it? Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead, this Sunday.
Well, that game is memorable for so many reasons. A lot of them are actually are before and after that game, Tyler. The most significant thing before that game is we found out later that Gary Kubiak had told John Elway, I'm quitting after the
well,
end
we
of
found
the year.
We actually found out before. We weren't supposed to find out until later, right? Or do I have that backwards?
Well, what happened was, very specifically, Kubiak goes to Elway right before that game, the night before, and says, I'm done at the end of the season. Adam Schefter finds out about it.
Right.
Adam Schefter keeps it to himself for a week Adam has told us on the air his heart was beating through his chest.
Oh, right. We had the Raiders game. So I gotcha.
Right. And what happened was the morning of the Raiders game, Adam put it out there like 5 o'clock in the morning.
And Gary got ticked off.
He was furious.
Because he hadn't told the team yet.
He had not told the team.
And he wanted the right to be able to tell the team himself.
Correct. And a lot of the players, believe it or not, even though we were talking all about it on The Fan, a lot of players had no idea because Kubiak did not address it to the team before the game. He did announce it after the game was over. And that game, how do you not remember that game? Because the Broncos had nothing to play for because that Christmas Day massacre eliminated them from the playoffs, which reasonably people were saying, are you going to play Paxton Lynch now in a meaningless game? Just like the Chiefs in a meaningless game started Patrick Mahomes, not Alex Smith. That actually happened too. Gary Kubiak famously said it's going to be a 50-50 split with Trevor and Paxton. And, of course, we all know what happened. They're winning 17-0 at halftime. They come out of halftime. He keeps playing Trevor. They score another touchdown. They're up 24-0 early in the third quarter of a game that means nothing, and he never puts Paxton Lynch in the game.
Well, you know what? Paxton probably does play in that game if that report does not come out. And I think it's very fair to assume that Gary Kubiak got ticked off, that the story got leaked. I haven't had a chance to tell my team just yet. And because that story got leaked, well, forget you. I'm going to play the dude that I like on the way out the door.
And who do you think one of Adam Schefter's better sources on the Broncos? Of
James
course,
Marla.
It's John Elway, although we have James with us. But that with everything in mind, I could not believe after that game, John Elway and Gary Kubiak would even remain friends. Never mind work together again, but even be friends with each other. And they did. Gary came back to work as a consultant and was part of things. And in Broncos lore, that wipeout game with the Chiefs was a trigger for some of the most unbelievable, iconic, memorable, dramatic moments in Broncos history. James Marilat joins us, courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. James, that's how I remember it. Do you have any other thoughts on that particular series of events?
No, that pretty well outlines it. I just remember that Christmas night game. That was you needed a little extra eggnog to get through that one. That was brutal. And that was the game where all of this kind of turned, right? Like the games before that the Broncos lost to the Chiefs, they were really close, and it was trading field goals in overtime and losing it at the gun. And that one was one where it was like, man, the Chiefs just dominated the Broncos, and it feels like it's mostly been that way since. So if you had to kind of pick the tipping point, so to speak, on this rivalry, I think that Christmas night game was the moment.
That's when it got real. Yep. That's when things got real in terms of this losing streak, yeah.
James, I love checking in with you, man, because despite all the grief that we give you for being so grumpy all the time, I do know that you represent a huge part of the fan base that feels very similarly to you. And right now, I know that internally you are just so frustrated. I know it. I know you've got to be frustrated that the Broncos are in no man's land. But here's my question for you. Not are you frustrated, because I know you are. What if the Broncos actually end this streak? What if they actually pull off this miracle against the Kansas City Chiefs? Are you buying into anything if they beat the Chiefs?
Sure. Yeah. No, look, I it's not that I don't want to buy in or refuse to buy in or will never buy in. I'm just not going to buy into 8-9 or 9-8, and I still think that's where they're heading, which I said at the beginning of the year when we were debating whether it should be Drew or Teddy. I was saying that's the nightmare scenario, and here we are where that looks like it's more likely than not, which is, you're right. That's why I'm frustrated. But look, if they go out and end this streak, get to 7-5 or atop the AFC West with the Chiefs, but have beaten them on the road, sure, I'll buy in. It, no different than when they were 3-0, Tyler, and I said, all right, now they got four games coming up. Now that the directional schools are out of the way, they got four games coming up. If they go 2-2, I'll buy in. Well, they went 0-4. So at some point, they have to go out there and show, yep, we are legit. We snuck up on the Cowboys, and we beat an up-and-down Chargers team, both of which were nice wins. I'm not trying to poo-poo them by any means, but here you are, Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs coming off a bye, December at Arrowhead, all these different things that are stacked against them. You go win there. Hey, I'll buy in at that point. I'm on board.
All right. Well, I mean, you do realize that if they win this game – in all likelihood, that all but guarantees you got Vic Fangio and Teddy Bridgewater both back next year.
Yep.
Are you content with that if they win
no.
the game?
No, I still think it's a wrong move in a wrong direction, but I want
Then you're not buying it.
Well, no. I want this team to be good, or I want them to be bad. I don't want them to be mediocre. And if you can go beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, you're good. And, I think they're a playoff team at that point. And I said, I've said all along, it's playoffs or bust for Vic Fangio. I think he's back either way. I really do. I think the timing of the ownership situation, I think he's back either way. I think Teddy Bridgewater is more of a question mark. I don't think either guy is someone who's going to ultimately lead you to where you want to go, to the ultimate goal. So I feel like having either one of them in that position is a waste of time. And now 2022, 23 is going to be a waste. I wrote a column yesterday at DenverFan.com. This is just the triple whammy schedule, right? You get the last place schedule. You get the NFC East, which last year was won by a team sub 500. This year, there's only one team above 500 in it. And then your 17th game is the Lions at home. It ain't going to be that easy next year. So whatever they do this year with Fangio and Bridgewater, that's the peak. So if that peak is 10 or 11, okay, I guess they can buy into it and you see if they can get close to it again next year. If it's 8 or 9, you're just setting yourself up for a year from now. We're talking about who's replacing Vic Fangio, and all you did was waste another season.
We, kind of by accident, but I asked Tyler just before the break, well, what games did you win as a professional or even college that nobody gave you a chance to win? And Tyler said, well, the Super Bowl was one of them. And then in the playoffs, Beastquake game, when they were, 7-9 and went in there, nobody expected them to win. And when I asked Tyler what the difference was, he said pass rush. And then, bam, we just hit upon it. If the Broncos really want to win a game that perhaps they don't really have a right to, because we're doing our best at this station to show you why, really what you need is a signature game from Bradley Chubb. You need a moment when you're going to be a disruptive, top-of-the-line player to have a signature game, and that's what this sets up to be. What do you think the likelihood in the game that would really matter the most, what do you think the odds are that Bradley Chubb can step to the plate?
Virtually zero. I mean, he was on the field for, 30 snaps the other day, and he was non-existent.
Well, he's coming back from an injury. He's coming back from an injury.
And I get it.
We'll save him that grace that he needed a game to respond.
Fine. But, D-Mac, it's not as though I'm saying I expected him to have 3 or 4 sacks and to wreck the game. Like, I'm just saying I wanted to notice he was on the field. I wanted to be like, hey, you know what? Remember that play where he kind of pressured Justin Herbert, and Justin Herbert had to roll out? Like, he did nothing. Not virtually nothing, like literally nothing. So you're exactly right, though. This is the kind of game when you're the number 5 overall pick, you got to step up and make plays and help carry your team on the road, much like the number 2 overall pick and Von Miller helped carry the team in Super Bowl 50 when nobody gave him a shot. This is the type of moment. That's why when I was on with Zach yesterday and people were giving us a hard time for being critical of Bradley Chubb, that's why. Because you drafted that guy for this kind of moment. You
right
passed
here
on Josh Allen
this
for
it.
this kind of moment.
Right.
And he's just not there. But you're right, it is the pass rush, because that was the key against the Chargers. They got pressure on Justin Herbert almost every time he dropped back to pass with 4 guys. And if you can do that and put 7 back in Vic's zone and confuse the quarterback, you got a shot against anybody. So if they can do that against Kansas City, I give them a puncher's chance. I think that's the key to the game. Can you get pressure on Mahomes with 4?
All right, James. Why did DenverFan.com have, by a mile, a record month in terms of engagement?
It's people like grumpiness.
You know what? I think it's just because this season has been, if nothing else, it's been interesting, right? I mean, like, 2 weeks ago, we're talking about the Teddy, business decision. We're talking about who's going to replace Vic Fangio, and now we're talking about either one of them or both of them going to come back. Like, it's been a roller coaster, so it's just, nonstop topic of conversation. So that, and I think I did a pretty good job of ticking people off.
Well, there you go. I thought it was going to be Dan Jacobs cooking tips, but
the Grill Samaritan. I think you hit the nail on the head. That's
but,
it.
But you know what it is? It's everything.
It is
really what it is. You guys have done an amazing job. There's contributions literally from everybody at the station on a wide variety of topics. And whether it's going into detail about the Avalanche or the Nuggets, and I even saw something in there about the Rockies. Can you imagine that? To the Samaritan, to the podcast, to Rachel B. Hill doing some really cool kind of behind-the-scenes sort of noontime interviews. I mean, the website is absolutely dynamic. It's its own living entity each and every day. And James, you are in charge of that, and we should give you proper credit, man. It's awesome, and we're all part of it, and I love it. I think it's fantastic.
No, I appreciate that. And you're right. In any given month, there's up to 30 people. 30 different people that provide content, whether it's video, audio, written, or a combination. So, yeah, I'm just the guy that, you know, gets the credit. And, you know, I'll play Fangio on this one. I'll take the credit when the news is good. But, yeah, it's a group effort, to put it mildly.
All right, thanks, James. It's James Merrillat, courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Get an Insanity Pizza tonight. Why not? It's crazy. It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver 5.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.